The president begins selling the budget deal. A ceasefire may be in the works in Lebanon. Floating propane tanks threaten a flooded St. Louis neighborhood. Good morning, this is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup.
It is time for Congress to pass this plan. It is time for Washington to show the courage to change.
In a rare Saturday morning Rose Garden speech, President Clinton kicked off a last big push to sell the nearly $500 billion deficit reduction compromise that could become a done deal this weekend. The president said the plan would revive the economy while putting the brunt of the tax bite on those making more than $200,000 a year and sparing people from the middle to the bottom of the economic ladder.
No working family earning less than $180,000 will pay a penny more in income taxes. That will be a real change from the trickle-down economics of the past dozen years.
The president also defended the package against criticism that it would savage small business.
This plan offers 90% of the small businesses in the United States of America the chance to actually reduce their tax burden if, but only if, they invest more in their businesses.
The president said that would mean more jobs. The package as it stands includes the Senate's 4.3-cent a gallon gasoline tax increase, which the president said would cost an average family $33 a year. But there is no agreement yet on the size of Medicare cuts. Rob Armstrong reports on where the budget conferees go from here.
Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell said staff work will continue through the weekend with the end in sight.
We are going to bring all of the conference to a conclusion, hopefully on Monday. We're very confident that this will be a program that will meet the president's original guidelines and will be approved by both the House and the Senate during the latter part of next week.
Nonetheless, the president will need to do some personal arm twisting over the next several days. As of last evening, enough Senate Democrats were wavering to scuttle the package, even with the vice president's vote to break a tie. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
While Israel continued its battle with Iranian-backed guerrillas in South Lebanon today, Middle East diplomats said Secretary of State Christopher's telephone diplomacy was about to bear fruit with an agreement among Israel, Lebanon, and Syria to stop the fighting. It's still not clear if the guerrillas will buy into the deal. More from Catherine Arms in Beirut.
Lebanon's Minister of Information has said work is in progress for a ceasefire to halt the shelling in South Lebanon. He said he expected an announcement about a U.S.-brokered ceasefire later today, possibly from Washington. When asked if this would be a permanent ceasefire, the official said, yes, it will be permanent. I plan on taking members of the international press to tour the South tomorrow. Israel's bombardment of South Lebanon, now in its seventh day, has eased. A U.N. spokesman said both artillery shells and air raids had dropped off by a significant number. He also said Katyusha rockets launched by guerrillas aimed at Israel had dropped in number as well. Catherine Arms, CBS News, Beirut.
The ceasefire reportedly would take effect an hour from now. More than 120 people have died in the week-long fighting. It's 3 minutes after the hour.
You're hearing news on KNX 1070.
These days, Californians hear mortgage offers all the time. But keep listening, because here's an outstanding offer you won't want to miss. Wells Fargo Bank will tear up your first month's mortgage payment. Principal and interest paid in full, not just deferred. So you won't have to worry about making that difficult initial mortgage payment. And you'll have extra cash when you need it most. Offer good on any Wells Fargo fixed initial rate loan, home purchase, or refinance. Just have your mortgage payments automatically deducted from your Wells Fargo personal checking account. Let Wells Fargo tear up your first month's mortgage payment and give yourself some breathing room. Make your move today. Apply at a Wells Fargo office near you or phone 1-800-CALL-WFB. That's 1-800-CALL-WFB. Member FDIC. Limited time offer. Certain restrictions apply. Equal housing lender.
It's 4 minutes after the hour. The latest nightmare from the flood of 93 has washed up on the doorsteps of South St. Louis. Waters from the River de Pere have surrounded a propane tank farm, creating the potential for a deadly explosion. 600 homes have been evacuated, but not everyone is going willingly.
This is all I own. Yeah. You know, and if they come and tell me that everything will be taken care of while I'm gone, then I wouldn't mind so much. But this is ridiculous. It just happened all of a sudden, and now we have to get out of here.
KMOX Radio's Daphne Wright has the latest.
St. Louis Fire Chief Neil Svetanik says the propane tanks, 51 in all, are connected by feeder pipe to one another in a flooded storage yard near the Mississippi River. Each contains 30,000 gallons of liquid propane. Increased river levels have forced some tanks to float off their mountings. Svetanik says that's presenting a dangerous situation.
The possibility of piping breaking is real. And we think that with the rise in the river that we could get more action on the tanks, that it could break.
Svetanik says a break could cause a gaseous and explosive cloud to form. Daphne Wright for CBS News, St. Louis.
30 miles west of St. Louis in Chesterfield, Fire Marshal Dave Nichols has to deal with the effects of last night's levee break along the banks of the Missouri River.
We had a 100-foot-long break where the river busted right through the levee. The entire Chesterfield Valley has been evacuated, the entire industrial park and airport.
Water everywhere and not a drop to drink. No more, not in Des Moines. Waterworks manager L.D. McMullen says, believe it or not, we've made it.
After 19 days of our water crisis, that the water is now safe to drink at the tap, which was a major step forward in the recovery of our flooded treatment plant.
Parts of the Midwest could take another pounding today. Severe thunderstorm watches are in effect for the Kansas City area, much of eastern Iowa, and part of west-central Illinois. Southern farmers who've seen a helping hand extended to the nation's breadbasket hope the government doesn't forget about their troubles. Jim Krasula reports from Raleigh, North Carolina.
While hundreds of farmers in the Midwest have seen their crops washed out by record flooding, many farmers across the South have seen their crops ruined by record heat and drought. In North Carolina, farmer Wilson Jackson has been farming for 70 years.
It's the worst I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Deputy U.S. Agriculture Secretary Richard Rominger toured farms in North Carolina, which have been hard hit by the heat and drought.
This area has problems, and we're considering it right along with the areas in the Midwest. There's certainly been a disaster there, and a lot of farmers and a lot of other people affected, but we've got some farmers down here that are suffering just as much as someone who's flooded in the Midwest.
Several areas in the South will soon be declared federal disaster areas because of weather-related crop damage. Jim Krasula for CBS News, Raleigh, North Carolina.
It's 7 minutes after the hour. The National Weather Service says August should be better for the flooded Midwest. The August outlook is for a month of normal rainfall and below normal temperatures. Flooding is also causing headaches in western Canada. Newsman Don McGilvery has the story from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
The water is pouring off fields into streams and rivers. The heavy rainfall in southern Manitoba this past week, combined with water swells from the United States, will keep these rivers rising for at least another week. The current prediction has rivers cresting just a few feet below flood conditions, but much more rain will cause major damage to crops. In Winnipeg, the storm sewer system has been unable to cope with record rainfalls. The system has backed up, filling thousands of basements, causing about $50 million in damage. The water has claimed one life. A 14-year-old boy waded into a rapidly rising stream before being swept away by the swift current. Don McGilvery for CBS News, Winnipeg.
The time on the World News Roundup, 8 minutes after the hour. Retired auto worker John Demjanjuk, cleared this week of his Nazi war crimes conviction, may be able to leave Israel soon. Jesse Shulman reports from Jerusalem.
Israel's police ministry has confirmed that Demjanjuk is to fly tomorrow to Ukraine, his birthplace, where he'll apparently be granted asylum. That doesn't necessarily mean his family has given up hope of seeing him back home in Ohio, but this at least gets him out of the Israeli prison he's been in for over 7 years. There is one possible hitch. Right-wing Israeli politicians have lodged court petitions to have him tried on lesser charges. The Supreme Court has to rule on the petitions before he can go, but it's unlikely to block his departure.
Demjanjuk's lawyers will go to court in this country next week to try to bring him back to the U.S. The hills overlooking Sarajevo, where intense battles have raged for 3 weeks, were relatively quiet today as Muslim, Serb, and Croat leaders met to carve out a plan that would carve up Bosnia. British peacekeepers reported heavy fighting as two Croat villages near the town of Gornji Vakuf fell to the Muslims. Today's Washington Post reports that President Clinton has formally asked the UN to approve airstrikes to protect United Nations peacekeeping troops in Bosnia. The report says administration officials are concerned a delay would put the troops at risk. Michigan Congressman Paul Henry, considered a rising Republican star, died today at the age of 51. He'd been suffering from brain cancer. He was from Grand Rapids. The United Steelworkers Union has reached a tentative settlement to avoid a strike at National Steel. Talks with Bethlehem and Armco Steel continued in Pittsburgh. In Los Angeles and San Francisco, demonstrators turned out for the premiere of the movie Rising Sun, with picketing, chanting, and leaflets. The demonstrators claim the movie stereotypes Japanese people, portraying them as sinister businessmen. About 150 people turned out to protest at those two sites. It's 10 past.